Is there a supernatural dimension? A world beyond the one we know? Is there life after death? Do angels exist? Can our dreams contain messages from heaven? Can we tap into ancient secrets of the supernatural? Are healing miracles real? Sid Roth has spent over 35 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid for this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, welcome. I say welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. My guest has prayed for and equipped hundreds of thousands of believers in the Messiah, of leaders worldwide. Then these move in miracles, in healings. Then they pray for others. There's no telling how many have been equipped to be normal. Now, you may say, that's not normal at my place. Well, then you're not normal. Let's face it. When I say normal, I mean normal as defined by the Bible. And I tell you that this man wants to equip you right now to be normal. So, Randy, you're 5 years old, and you find out about your first miracle. Tell me about it.
It was my grandmother, my mother's mother, and she was illiterate and a simple woman, but she had just been saved, hadn't been a Christian very long. And she has a big goiter, and she hears the audible voice of God tell her that if you will go into the other bedroom, which is like 10 feet away, and pray, I'll heal you. So she just simply steps 10 steps into the other bedroom, begins to pray, and she said it felt like a hot hand went down my throat, and it instantly vanished. And that was my first story of healing. It made me interested in healing ever since.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, I am fascinated about her daughter, your mother.
Yes.
Tell me about the time your mother went to heaven.
I was 6 years old. My brother...
Boy, he was working. God was working fast with you. 5, 6.
Yeah. I was 6. My brother was 4.
I mean, when I was 6, I didn't know my left hand from my right hand. You have a mother going to heaven, a grandmother has a goiter disappear. You are a blessed man. But go ahead.
Well, she told me this, and every time she'd try to talk about it, she'd start crying. I think it was over 40 years before she could talk about just literally breaking up and weeping because she'd feel those feelings again. And like I said, I was 6, my brother's 4, my sister was 3. And when she was walking out of the house, she felt caught up in this like this vortex of power. She fell out. I had entered as a sophomore in college. I interviewed 2 men that saw her. She didn't have a pulse. She's clammy. There's no breath. They thought she had died. She was in heaven. And then when her spirit came back, it was kind of rough as it left her and went into this beautiful place. And then my dad, I just talked to him recently, they're in their 80s now, and my dad was saying it so scared him because he said your mother would walk through the house for almost 2 weeks after that happened, and she would mutter, it's so beautiful, it's so peaceful, I don't want to stay here, I want to go back. And she was trying to find somewhere to go to church every night of the week. She said, I just wanted to get back into that place. And then finally he said, I walked into the kitchen and said, honey, you can't leave me here with these 3 kids. You've got to snap out of this. But it was so impacting. So that story so impacted me that when I was a sophomore in college, I went back and interviewed the people who had seen it happen to her and interviewed her again. And one of the things I have as a memory for me is her telling that story
What a wonderful memory. But at 16, you backslid.
Yeah.
You rededicate your life to the Lord, and then you're in a horrific accident. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I was 18. I'd been backslid for 11 months, and 4 days before this happened, I was rededicated. And I was in a terrible car accident, and I was almost killed. I had a lot of major injuries. My second best friend was killed, sitting next to me. And it was horrendous. They said I'd be in the hospital 49 to 77 days. I had three specialists, one for my spine, one for internals, because I was paralyzed. My intestines weren't working. I had 50 milligrams of Demerol every 3 hours I was taking. And I had three places the size of a quarter in my hairline that was crushed, and most of my forehead was lots of fractures and concussions. And the specialist come in and set my jaw, and he said, "Put your teeth together." He said, "Do that again. Do it again." He said, "I don't understand it. I came here to set your jaw. Your x-ray shows you got a broken jaw, and it's set." And then the church prayed for me one night.
Now, what effect did it have on you that he said, "Your broken jaw, here's the x-rays, broken, it's set"? What effect did it have on you?
Well, that one, I didn't know. I wasn't putting two and two together yet, because that was pretty early on. My eyes were just now coming unswollen. Mm-hmm. But then, when they were going to have to send me to a large hospital to see if they can do something about the paralysis of the digestive system, and my church prayed for me, and then the next day, I wasn't paralyzed. Then I put two and two together with the other one. And then when I was supposed to, I was in this severe pain. I couldn't even have a pillow. They don't need three nurses if I ever wanted to move. They call log roll of your knees, your hips and your shoulders, so you don't move your spine.
Why didn't they want
they
you?
They thought I had so much damage to my spine, they thought I could become paraplegic or have Charlie horses the rest of my life if I moved wrong. And so I woke up one morning and I didn't have any pain. And I had wasn't a voice, but it was an internal voice that said, "I've healed you. Get up and walk."
Wait a second, they said you could be paraplegic for the rest of your life.
I couldn't even have a pillow. I'd read the New Testament with mirrors in my glasses.
But why would you follow this voice when you knew the repercussion, Randy?
Well, because my jaw had set itself, and my intestines were working, and the pain was gone.
So
I thought I was healed.
Actually got up?
I got up, let down the rail of the bed, and stepped out. And walked and created a lot of commotion at the hospital because I wasn't supposed to. Yeah.
Well, I noticed you're walking just fine now.
Yes.
Now, what he's going to tell us next is what made him a leader in teaching people and praying for people to have an impartation to do anything he can do better. Don't go away.
Right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
So, Randy Clark had miracle after miracle after miracle. How important is that through dry seasons, so to speak, that you remember back on what God did for you?
Well, when I went into the ministry, I went to a Baptist college, but it was very liberal. I studied in religious studies. It almost caused me to lose my faith. What kept me from losing my faith was I knew the healings were real, and I couldn't deny that. And so almost everything else supernatural was being denied by my teachers, but I couldn't buy it because I'd been healed. So it saved my faith.
Okay. He's now a pastor, I assume, of a Baptist church.
Yes.
And God began talking to you. What did he tell you about healing?
If I only touch his garment.
Well, a guy was teaching, a young guy from my college I'd gone to, and I was listening to him, and it wasn't really a great sermon. And I mean,
honest.
He was spiritualizing the text of the one with the issue of blood, and I'd spiritualize the same way he had many times. And in the middle of that, I start just tears gushing out of my eyes. It wasn't like I was a tear going. They like, I feel like they were shooting out. And I'm thinking, what is this? It has nothing to do with the sermon. It's not that good. What are you doing? And I felt like I heard an impression. I want you to teach that I still heal today to this church. And I want you to have a conference on healing in this church. And I want you to preach differently. More of my words and less of yours, and no more 3 points in a poem.
That's pretty good advice. Okay, so you're going to have a conference. You see a man on TV that I had the opportunity to meet, John Wimber. You invite him to your congregation. He says he's too busy, but he has someone else that he'll send.
Yes.
Take it from there.
Well, Blaine Cook came, who was like John's right-arm guy, and four other guys with him. And all heaven broke loose. I'd never seen anybody flowing word of knowledge. He did. He got up and gave 20 words of knowledge, said, that's enough for now. I was praying and fasting that God would come and visit my church. I wanted to receive an impartation from him. And the first two services, other people in my church were getting touched, you know, drunk in the spirit, falling out. We'd never seen anything like that. It's all new to us. It scared a lot of people that's trying to get out of the building. They're so scared. And I wasn't touched at all for the first two services. It just made me a holy jealousy. And then in the third service, the Spirit of God touched my wife and I at the same time. And I felt like I was being electrocuted. And I grew up on a farm.
Now, wait a second. I hear a term, electrocuted.
Yeah.
Make it more graphic so I can understand.
The electrical power, if you hold something electrical, they got these things. Right. If you turn it up all the way, it'd cause your hands to start doing this. And it caused you, involuntary muscle spasms, like that was going on, and it caused you to shake. And the next day, all my joints ached, very similar to what it felt like when I would go frog gigging and walk into an electric fence and hit that electric fence. It makes your joints ache. That's how much power it made my joints ache for all the next day.
Oh, no, better than that. Tell me about the medical doctor that went behind you, the plastic surgeon. What did he observe and what did he say?
Well, in one night in Brazil, we had 13 get healed in one night. One guy had 30 screws, all types of 16 screws, all types of screws that can't move, and they're doing everything they couldn't do. He wrote down their names and numbers. He's a plastic surgeon. And for the next 6 months, he called them every month to just check to see how well they were. And they had absolutely no loss of the healing that they received at those times. After 6 months, he was calling.
This is major. This is verified by a medical doctor, you skeptics. Jesus had skeptics too. Tell me, here's what's so wonderful to me. He teaches people. And then they do the same thing, but this is off the chart. Tell me about a layman that went with you on one of your trips and prayed for someone that I think was he paraplegic?
Paraplegic.
Yeah. Tell me about him.
He's from North Carolina, from Wilmington, North Carolina, and his wife is a nurse, and he was a relatively new Christian. He'd had an alcohol problem. He's a recovering alcoholic. And 3 years in a row, he wanted to go with me to learn how to pray for the sick. And every time when it come up time, he'd fall off the wagon. Well, this time he didn't. And I share that not to embarrass him, but to talk about the grace of God. Sometimes we think we got to be so holy before God will use us. It's grace. And that's why I totally mentioned that. And so he's there, and he hasn't had any sleep in 48 hours. And I'm getting ready to release. There's like 10,000 people in the sanctuary to come forward. And he prays this little prayer. Lord, you know I've never prayed for anybody in my life. That's why I've come, to learn how to pray for people on this trip. I want to see somebody get healed, but this is my first time. Bring me an easy one, a headache or a bellyache, nothing hard. And he looks out and sees this guy in a wheelchair rolling toward him. And he says, no, Lord, not that. He won't even look at it. He turns his head this way, and the guy rolls up to him, pulls on his pant leg.
You've seen Jesus heal many people.
Right now, God.
He now wants to heal your soul.
And he said, I did everything that you taught us to do, and then I interviewed him, and nothing had happened. And so the little bit of faith I had, he said, I don't have any now. But then I remembered, you said, you don't expect us to heal anybody. Only God can heal. But you expect us to love them, that when we get done praying for them, they don't feel worse than they did before by guilting them up, telling them it's their fault or anything like that. And so he remembered, if I quit praying now, I've only prayed so short, he'll not feel valued as a human being or loved. So I'm just going to pray for him so he'll feel loved. Not that he was expecting that he's going to get healed, because, you know. And he said, he's about to go to sleep. His head's now falling down on the back of the guy's shoulder. And right before he started to snore, the guy jumped out of the wheelchair, turned around, hugged him, and cried on his shoulder. His shirt was wet here. And I went home that night and said, God, that's not fair. I've been praying for 30 years for the sick. You know, it was his first time.
I think a few people at home and the studio audience are saying the whole thing, the same thing.
And then I came to my senses and realized his healing is my healing, because we're all one body and it's for God's glory. And then I got over it and thanked the Lord.
But you said something major. You said he remembered you taught him. You can love the person.
Yeah.
You can show the person they're loved. How would you like to operate in words of knowledge like Randy Clark? When he teaches, what percentage have accurate words of knowledge, would you say?
When I teach, usually we have a time when we give people a chance to come give their first word of knowledge ever in their life. And it's usually around 90% are accurate.
That sounds pretty good. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Okay, I am so intrigued over words of knowledge. Briefly, what is a word of knowledge?
Well, it's supernatural knowledge you don't get through education or learning or any natural means. It's for my case, it works for in the helping with healing, to know what God wants to heal. But I know people who sometimes get words of knowledge that's lifted them to go to the highest position in their company in electrical engineering, because there'll be a problem, they'll wait and figure it out, and the guy will pray and God will tell him what the problem is. So it's knowledge that you get that's not by natural means.
How were you mentored to move in this gift that you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, everyone that's a believer in the Messiah can move in this gift?
I believe everybody can. Some will move in it more than others, but I believe everybody can.
Okay, but how did you start moving in it?
A guy told me on a telephone in 5 minutes how to get words of knowledge, and a few days later I started having them.
Okay, 5 minutes. Go for it, Randy.
You feel pain that's not your pain, so you can feel it. You have an impression of some disease or something or somebody's name, so you can think it. You can see how they were hurt, maybe a scenario of an accident or a part of the body, like a mental picture, a daydream, so you can see it. You can see a word on somebody, which is like you actually see a word so you can read it. You can say it like you're praying for somebody, you're talking to somebody, and you hear yourself say something you didn't think you were going to. An odd experience that God gives you interpretation to can be one of the ways, and you can also dream them, have a dream about it in advance, and then the dream gives you the faith for you know what God wants to heal. Those are 7 ways you can have words of knowledge.
How does dreaming work with you? How did that start?
I was interviewing people who'd raised the dead in Mozambique. It's one of my hobbies to get video of people who've been raised or people who raised from the dead. And I asked these 3 guys that all raised the dead if they had words of knowledge after the interview. It was a 2-hour interview and then at the end of it. They said yes. And I said, well, how do you get them? Do you feel them, think them, see them, read them, say them? And I didn't know you could dream them yet. They said, oh, we dream them. I said, well, how's that work? And then they told me. Within 2 weeks, I'm in Brazil, and I have a dream. I see two hands, no body, no arms, just 2 hands, with something stuck here, sticking out 2 inches past the palm. So I gave it. I wasn't sure it was God or not, because it was my first one. And a guy came running from the back row. I can see a big scar on his hand here. He puts his hand in mine like that, and before I can say, come, Holy Spirit, it's already been healed. It had been paralyzed open. He had a massive scar, and he had something that did stick in all the way from here. It did stick out 2 inches past his palm. So when he heard the word, he knew it was for him. He knew he was going to be healed. He was healed by the word. I had very little to do with it, except I said, Lord, that's so easy. Can we have more of those?
I understand. Okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to yield to the Spirit of God and speak what God tells you right now.
Okay. I think there are some things that God wants to heal, and in the last 30 minutes, I started getting words of knowledge. I felt most of them. The one of them is that somebody has something wrong with the bone on the right side of their ankle, the ankle bone on the right side. God wants to heal that, and somebody else. You had a brain injury. It was an accident, but I actually think it was a car accident. It's resulted in a brain injury and some complication, and I believe the Lord is going to heal that. I think there's somebody by the name of Mariah. I know that's a very uncommon name, but I think God wants to heal somebody with the name of Mariah. And there's someone who you're about to lose your marriage because you had a spirit of jealousy, and God wants to deliver you from that spirit of jealousy. And someone, you have pain in the right bottom part of your heart. God wants to heal that. And that's enough for now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the people that those are for. We just speak to the bone in the right ankle and be healed. Also, below the inside of the right ankle on the left side, not the bone, but in the tissue there. There's something wrong there. Would that be healed? We speak to the heart. We speak to the jealousy issue. That spirit of jealousy would leave. God, you'd heal with the whatever's caused that man to have that. And Lord, we just speak in the name of Jesus, whoever it is, whatever Mariah's got, and also to the brain damage. In Jesus' name, God, may they know this is your will. And since they know it's your will, may they have faith. And I agree with it in Jesus' name for their healing. Amen.
Now, some of you may be asking, what is the purpose of a miracle? After all, our sins are forgiven. We're going to go to heaven. What do we need miracles for? Well, I'm going to give you a good reason why you need a miracle, because that's the way the Messiah of Israel operated. That's as good a reason I know. He demonstrated the kingdom, and then he earned the right to present how people can know the King. Now, because we don't have, and Randy was almost talked out of it, because we don't have people in every congregation that are believers everywhere operating in the supernatural, we have Plan B. But Plan B only works for a few people. I have spoken for as many as 450 Jewish people that don't know the Messiah, operated just the way Randy did in words of knowledge. 30, 40 stand up and say, I've just been healed. And for 2 hours, I have earned the right to tell them why they were healed. That's why you need miracles. That's why you need miracles, because the King is coming back soon for a kingdom. And God wants you in the kingdom. You've heard enough to make Jesus your Messiah and Lord, to repent of your sins, to tell him that you're sorry, and believe the blood of Jesus not only washes them away, but gives you the power to be victorious. And then you invite the life of Messiah to come inside of you. Someone's neck was just healed. Just move your head. You'll see. The pain is going. In fact, pain of any kind is going right now. And I want you to know something. As Randy said, God values you. God loves you. He sent his son to die a horrific death because he loves you so much. You are loved by God. Remember that. Next week on It's Supernatural. My guest was called by God to make you, to make me the healthiest people on earth.